Welcome to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph, as she explores the ever-changing music industry with today's top creatives, artists, and executives. Enjoy these fun and informative conversations with a little bit of love thrown in along the way.
This episode was recorded prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. We hope that you're staying safe and healthy, and now sit back and enjoy the show. Welcome to For Love and Music with me, Tara Joseph. Now, I'm very excited about today's guest. Working for the biggest record label in the world, Universal Music, as head of soundtrack and score for Global Classics and Jazz and Globe UK, I love that she has an entrepreneurial flair to the way she does business, and nothing is ever too big a challenge. Super smart and very charming, I'm also lucky enough to call her my dear, dear friend. Welcome to the show, the fabulous Holly Adams. Holly, hi, how are you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the kind introduction. I'm great. And I'm also thrilled to be your friend.
Oh, well, we've known one another quite a long time now. It's about 6 years, I think it is.
Cresting on 7.
Yeah. When you originally Verve before taking the position of head of soundtrack and score.
Exactly. We first met on your former client, Catherine Jenkins.
Absolutely.
Doing all facets of that record rollout when I was in my product manager role. And it was quite fun.
Yes, it really was. So what I'm interested in, and I'm sure the listeners will be interested in as well, is what does it mean to be head of soundtrack and score for literally the biggest record label in the world? What does that role mean?
Definitely means excitement. job description. Some days it means a lot of research and reading and trying to figure out what's going on in the industry. Other days it means a lot of detail review and rushing to try to make deadlines. Other days it means getting to screen a great film or read a great script. And other days it is being able to engage with the studios and their music departments and doing a lot of active listening to understand what they're looking for and how we can be great partners as Universal Music on soundtracks and scores that they're releasing.
Because it's such a big industry, the film industry. So to keep track of exactly what's going on, that must be a huge amount of work, as well as actually the day-to-day of making the soundtracks happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of work in it, but there are a lot of great people who work within this division for Universal Music Group as well. And we're fortunate enough to have people around the world who are specialists in their market and really understand the nuance of what's going on in their industry for how films, television programs are received. So we're lucky and have their insight. Then in LA, we have a team who is completely focused on research, specifically Roger Weeks, who works with me, who you know very well.
Love Roger.
So much of his time to research. And that's going through not only the major sources like the Variety and the IMDb's of the world, but really combing the industry blogs, gossip columns, what have you, to see what's been announced and what's been optioned. Because one thing that's so important in successful soundtrack and score release is to really collaborate with your studio, with your director, with your music supervisor, and with your composer, if a composer is on the project, so that you have an understanding of what they're trying to tell as it relates to the musical story that complements what they're doing on the screen. We've been able to have some of our most successful campaigns when we're able to get in early. I would definitely say that The Shape of Water was one of those where we were so fortunate to be brought on at the earliest assembly of the film and be a part of it throughout the entire award season. That was great. We did the same thing with The Hateful Eight. And then we've been brought in on other projects when the director is ready to start selecting music or when they need an end title or when they're looking for something special, and we have our artists collaborate with them, and those are great too. So we do a lot of advanced research to make sure that we're not coming to a studio or to a directorial partner 5 minutes before they're ready to put it out, and we're not promising marketing that we can't deliver when we're able to go early.
So really, the more amount of time you have, the better.
Absolutely.
What do you do if you're in a situation, though, where someone comes to you quite late in the day and they're like, this is about to happen, we need this score, da 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 da? How do you handle something that's really on a tight time limit when clearly there are so many different elements that need to go into it to make it all fall into place?
Well, first and foremost, we manage expectations of what can be done, knowing the amount of time. So if it is very expedited timeline, often we'll start with a digital release of the album, and then we'll grow into physical release of the album as manufacturing deadlines allow, or as the film or television program grows. But we try to be extremely transparent with our partners on what we're able to deliver and when. But we are able to move very, very quickly. So it's just about saying, this is what we can deliver in this period of time. Of course, everyone loves the luxury of having an extended time period to market and be creative and find partners and engage all areas of the company. But we are also able to move very quickly. I'm sure that if anyone is listening who works with me, they're all shuddering at that. We'll move very quickly. And one of the benefits of being with the largest music company in the world is that we're in over 180 territories. So we're able to contact our label heads and say, hey, this is a huge priority. We're trying to get this through. These are the partners involved. What can you do? And their feedback is quick, and their experience and their expertise is deep. So they're able to take a lot of institutional knowledge as it relates to soundtrack or score releases and apply it. So you don't have that learning curve every time. They are familiar with this, and Universal's had an incredible history of soundtrack and score.
Well, you've been involved with some incredible award-winning films like Judy with the fabulous Renée Zellweger, The Favourite, always love an Olivia Colman project, always. We're so happy she won the Globe for The Crown. As you mentioned, Hateful Eight and Shape of Water, Downton Abbey, again, huge lover of that. So really, it's like you have this pick of the crop, really, it sounds, for the films that you create scores for.
Well, we've been really fortunate because the artists who are signed to Universal Music Group are working on really compelling projects, composer level with the artists we have with Decca Publishing, to artists writing in titles, doing original songs or having songs that directors or studios are interested in. And then I cannot stress enough, I have had such a charmed existence as it relates to the soundtracks and scores that I've worked on over the course of my career. It's each one is really exciting, and I still feel really, really lucky to get to call this work because it is so much fun to be involved in helping tell the stories.
Are there any particular directors that you haven't worked with yet that you would absolutely love to collaborate with musically?
I think that I have been really lucky in working with a myriad of directors. I think for me, what is most exciting is to think about what new stories are going to come along, what new voices are we going to hear, who are the new actors of these films. So for me, I get excited about the stories. Again, I've been so lucky and worked with so many different directors. But for me, it's about the stories and the films and how we can be great partners in helping with that storytelling.
And obviously, which I'm sure will really interest the listeners, is that you have a very close working relationship with Quentin Tarantino, and you've worked with him on numerous projects. Tell us a little bit about how that works, and I'm sure he must be extraordinary to work with.
Yeah, so my first project was the DVD release of Jackie Brown a long, long time ago. And at that point in time, I was just working on, you know, very, very basic marketing. I was an assistant. I was brand new to the business, literally two steps out of college, and got asked if I wanted to help. And I had been an art student and had a focus.
What an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, pretty much my jaw was on the floor every day because not only was there that project, but at that point in time, I was working for Maverick Records, and we had The Matrix, and we had all of the Adam Sandler films. And so for me, and all of the Austin Powers, so it was just like, oh my God, I have stepped into film mecca. What is happening here?
Yeah.
But through Jackie Brown, then I got to know the team and have been with them ever since. And it's fascinating work. I don't think there's anyone who is as creative as Quentin is as it relates to mingling music and storytelling into one incredible piece that you can't take your eyes off of. His knowledge is so deep when it comes to artists' songs. And we're not just talking about the number one hits that the artist had. He knows the B-side that was on the hidden record on the
incredible
track that was on the 7-inch that was only given away to two people. He'll know about that. His knowledge is just ridiculous, and his ability to marry that with his characters and make music a character in the film is brilliant, obviously from a visual standpoint. What he does is brilliant. So it's all there. And I'm just lucky to get to be a conduit to help people listen to and experience what he's talking about in his movies.
I'm sure it must be quite extraordinary. So take us back a little bit further. So when you were a child, were you very musical? Did you always want to get into the industry? How did it all sort of shape up for you?
I was always around music and specifically around soundtracks and scores. My mom was a huge Barbara Streisand fan, Stars Born and Grease. For me, that was my first big soundtrack that I actually knew about. But now as an adult, thinking back to my mom letting such a young child sing along to the lyrics with things like Grease Lightning, I do question that.
Did you want to be Olivia Newton-John, or you didn't go that far?
Oh, I've been practicing to be Sandy all my life.
I want to see that one day.
Halloween 2020.
Okay.
I was always around music, and I was really active in dance and choir and all of that good stuff. And as I started to get older and realized that you could be creative for a living, I started doing a lot of research about, you know, what jobs do exist out there. And I thought I was going to find my path by going through art school. And while that was very enjoyable, the type of coursework that I was taking was not something that was going to prepare me to be able to merge art and commerce in an effective way. I was envisioning myself waiting a lot of tables. And while I loved that job, I didn't necessarily want to do it forever. So I went to see my college advisor and asked some questions about where there could be an intersection of this. And they suggested exploring marketing. And so I got involved with the marketing department, and there was an internship that Sony Music was offering to come to California, intern. You had to write an essay for why you would be brilliant. I didn't realize that you would be brilliant because you were an intern who was willing to work for free. I wound up doing that internship and meeting some of the people who are still friends and, you know, my dear, dear mentor during that period of time. And I was in college, not ready to start working yet, really was getting that internship experience. So I went back, finished school, and got so lucky. 2 weeks after graduation, I got a call offering me the job I'd interned for.
How fantastic.
I packed up, moved out, and that was where everything began. But no, I didn't know exactly where I would go until I did that internship. And I do work with my former university and go and lecture for their music business program and speak to especially the incoming students. Just letting them know there are so many areas of the industry where you can get involved. So if there is something that you're good at, if you are a visual artist or you really love organizing things or what have you, to speak to somebody who is in the industry and they can tell you about the areas of specialization, because you can find a place for yourself. You don't just have to be that person who's on the stage or the person who is, you know, running the legal department or business affairs. There are so many areas for getting involved, and then you can take it a step further and do things within the film and television world. For me, it was definitely the internship experience that led me in the direction that I have followed for the last many, many years.
But what I think is interesting about you and the way that I've worked with you is that you are, as I said in your intro, really entrepreneurial, and you don't just, you think outside the box, because I've come to you with different ideas sometimes. I don't think necessarily other people would have had the foresight to maybe sort of think, oh, well, that's potentially a really interesting idea. But you are just so, you're very creative, and it's fabulous working with you, because you just, anything is possible, I think, in your world. That's how you make, I think, other people feel anyway, but genuinely so. I think it's quite, and I'm not just saying this because I'm like chatting to you and like being all sort of like sucky, sucky, but you are very special to work with, and I really love it. And seriously,
same about you.
Well, thank you. But you really think outside the box. And I don't think that everyone does. And so I think that, I guess, when you're lecturing at your old college or whatever, the students that you lecture to must really get that from you. And I'm sure that you really help. I'm sure you help them a lot.
Well, we have fun. And
yeah, I bet.
I was so lucky to have incredible mentors. And one of them, a gentleman named Jeff Aroff, who was at the work group in Virgin and was involved in the careers of everybody from Madonna to Janet Jackson to Fiona Apple to the Beatles. And Jeff got his start as an attorney, but then was very involved in the creative department, was very involved in the marketing department, and eventually became the chairman and CEO of all of these different labels. And one of the things that he instilled in me as an intern and then as an employee was, you're only limited by your imagination. And I loved that, because for me, having that art school background too, it was so fun to just try to creatively think around things and not have that box checking mentality, but instead saying, what are the values of this artist or this person that I'm working with? And how am I going to best help them tell the story? And I think that one of the things in the industry now that I will definitely say I see it in the spirit of Universal on a daily basis is really trying to understand what is the unique story that the artist is telling. There's not a formula to anything anymore. I think with all of the sharing that artists do with their music, with their life, and what goes into it, every story is unique. There's not a formula to follow. And so you do have to be creative in how you think. I think that tenacity goes a long way, because I get the answer no every day, and no is a complete answer. And that's
me too.
I also think that in healthy work relationships, there's always room for questions. So if you're told no and you really believe that something is possible, then I think instead of going back and settling, then asking, hey, could we look at it from this direction, or could we try this, is a healthy dialogue to have. And I think that you do come across things that maybe you wouldn't otherwise if you just settled. So I don't know. I will always be so grateful to Jeff for that, because there have been some things where, and you and I have had these conversations, a lot of people know me for saying, starting a sentence with, this may be crazy, but, and you know, some of those ideas work and they're awesome and amazing. We all celebrate. Others fall to the ground. But I think that as a marketer, as a creative person, and as someone who is employed because of the creativity of other artists, you have to ask the questions. It doesn't take that long to ask.
I always sort of think all questions are good questions. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%. So do you feel, since you've been in the music industry, how do you feel it's changed since you started out to where we all are now?
Obviously, it's changed in terms of how people are listening to music, how they are owning music. But what I think is amazing is I feel like the industry is evolving in the same space that artists are evolving. So instead of it being just a specific format in terms of how music's delivered, how you get to engage with the artist, it's something that over the course of time I've been involved has changed and has just created all these opportunities for audiences to get to know artists better, for artists to get to know themselves better and share what they desire to share, for people to have more engaged experiences with an album or a soundtrack or a score, and for people to be able to have a voice in what goes on. People like you and I, who are fans of things, we work in the industry, but we're fans of things. And I think that it's so exciting when you're able to work with an artist or director or studio who allows you to go deeper into the experience. You have the listening experience, but maybe you have some sort of physical item that becomes your very emotional souvenir from whatever you've just done. I am very into immersive art, immersive experiences, and getting to have that one-off pop-up where you're in the middle of an environment as envisioned by an artist or director.
Is there anyone in particular that you've had an immersive experience with recently that you could share with us?
It's not a project that I worked on, but it is a show that I went to that I thought was just brilliant. It took my mom to see Moulin Rouge on Broadway. And I think that they've done such a good job with that show from the moment you walk into the theater to how the theater is dressed out, and it's not just the stage. You know, you've got the decor and the feeling, they immediately steep you in it. And then their ability to take this film that was made many years ago and contemporize it with the music and with the songs that they're putting in to make it broader for more audiences. And then looking for audience participation throughout the show. I just think it's great. That's the most recent one. That's also the most recent show that I've been to. There are many others.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I love when there's also emerging of different artistic mediums. I love the musical artists collaborating with a visual artist and taking their show or collaboration into spaces like Art Basel in Miami, or going into some of the museums of modern art or what have you. I just think that those are things that are brilliant. I love when you have artists collaborating together through multiple mediums for me, that's so much fun.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And being a woman in what has been and probably still is a male-dominated industry, how have you found that being a woman has helped or hindered you?
You know what? I have been, again, very lucky with my mentors. At the very beginning of my career, it was somewhat intimidating just because I was this young student getting started in the business who didn't really use a cell phone, wasn't the greatest typist, didn't really know about spreadsheets. I was just coming in and going for it. But again, the same mentor, Jeff, was just, he was like, you have this job for a reason, be confident in your abilities and go in and work. And I think that hard work doesn't have a gender. And I think that I have been very lucky to be in a situation where, you know, the work is what speaks. And for me, that's also the type of environment that I like to foster in this new division that I'm a part of. We're all equal. We're all working for the artists who we're lucky enough to have on our label or have done deals with. I don't know. That's a tough question to answer because I don't really separate the work that I do as a woman from the work that my colleagues do as men. We're all working together.
I completely agree. I mean, obviously, I think we're all equal, but I think that sometimes, maybe more so a few years ago than now, personally, I used to find that you'd go into a meeting with a group of men as one thing, mm-hmm. and you'd come out of that meeting seen as something totally different. Mm-hmm. And I used to work in my favor because I think people were surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking so much about 2020, mm-hmm. but literally sort of probably more so when I started out.
I think people were surprised that I was not there to take notes or get coffee.
Exactly. That actually you do know what you're talking about and we're all of an equal footing.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned it earlier. I definitely am of the mindset that nothing is impossible. So I think people also got used to me being in meetings as the person who was like, yes, we can do
it. And that's what I love about you. Seriously, anything is possible in the world of Holly Adams. It absolutely is, for sure. And that's very inspirational. And it's so, sometimes you meet people whose cups are very half empty, not half full. Yours is always half full, for sure. If not full and overflowing.
Half of this cup.
So obviously this podcast La La Landed for Love and Music, the two reasons that I moved to LA for love and for music. So I always like to ask people a little bit of question with a little bit of love thrown in. So has there ever been a situation in your life where love has helped you make an unexpected decision in your career?
That's an interesting question.
People always say that.
As they squirm around and try to find the answer. I mean, I think at the end of the day, every decision that, you know, I'm making as a professional in this role is because I love music. I get up every day and I go to the office because I love music and the process. I love film and score, soundtrack specifically. So I would say that is definitely one of the guiding forces. I would not do the job if I didn't love it. I think that that's critical for anybody who is in a creative role. You have to love what you do because it does permeate your attitude and your approach does permeate everything that you do and does spill over into people you engage with.
So bearing in mind your love for music, if you were stuck on a deserted island for eternity, what would be your three songs that you took with you?
I would have to take an album. Is that okay?
Okay.
It would be hands down Abbey Road.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Big Beatles fan. Second runner up would be the Grease soundtrack, although I'm sure that the island animals would be sick and dancing around in the sand.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm a huge Beatles fan. Absolutely would take that one. Love that album. Feel like it's really strong.
Okay. I love that answer. So just going back to your work at Universal Music. So you also work closely with the classics and jazz labels. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so those are the classics and jazz labels, which are led by our chairman, Dickon Stainer. They're around the world. We work with Decca Records, which is overseen by our president, Becky Allen. We work with Verve Label Group, which Dickon oversees that. And then we have got an incredible group of people who are at Verve Label Group in the US. We work with Deutsche Grammophon in Germany. And then we have a very central division of the company that is responsible for getting information, music, assets out to the 180 territories. So it's a very large group of people who work together, and it's so much fun because it's an incredibly diverse group of people. You have people who are working in the classics and jazz division who are musicians, who are vocalists, who have a history or a work experience in composing. You have people who worked for heavy metal labels before. You have people who are visual artists, photographers, etc. So you've got a very vast range of experience and interest going into this division. And I think it's part of what makes it so great, because when people hear classics and jazz, I think a lot of people immediately think orchestra and an upright bass and not much else. But under the classics and jazz umbrella, you do have orchestra and upright bass, but you have neoclassical composers, you have experimental music, you have soundtracks, you have scores, you have, with Decca in the UK, they were the ones who got the UK country music scene kicking off with their band, The Shires. So you have all types of music under the classics and jazz umbrella, and you have all types of people who are working in that area.
And let's not forget that we were just talking about women in music, and that Decca is won by the absolutely amazingly brilliant Rebecca Allen, who we all love and respect and adore.
Exactly. She is a phenomenal human, and she leads the company with just complete positivity and zeal, but with the reality. That's the fun part about Becky.
She's so much fun.
She's so positive and she's so direct. You always know exactly what she wants, what she needs, and she will help you get there. I think that's one thing that everybody who works with her will agree upon. It's just, she not only has great vision, she has great execution.
To finish off with today, and honestly, you have been an amazing guest, and I so appreciate you coming on to La La Landed. What are your goals for the future? What should we expect to see from Holly Adams over the next 5 years? Where would you like to be? 5 to 10 years. What are your goals?
Wow. I would definitely like to continue in the world of film and television. It's just a part of my life that I never want to let go. I really enjoy the collaborative process. I have been involved in doing some visual media as well, and that's an area that I would like to continue. It's very intriguing to me, the world of producing. I think we mentioned earlier, but I got my start as a product manager. And once you do that, it's in your blood forever. So I really love organizing and helping things come to fruition. So producing is a very interesting thing to me. And I think, you know, biggest goal for the next 10, 20, 30 years is just to be happy and healthy and bring positivity to whatever I'm involved in.
Well, I know that will be in abundance because that's already happening.
You've got your crystal ball, you've seen it.
I do, absolutely. But thank you so much. You really have been, as I said, an amazing guest, and it's always amazing working with you, and I look forward to many, many more years, 10, 20, 30 years, like you just said, of Holly Adams positivity and, you know, us doing lots of exciting things together. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I love the show, and I am excited to listen to your next episode with you next time.
Oh, thank you. And to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in again. You will be hearing from myself very soon.
Thank you for listening to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph. For more information, you can check out at For Love and Music Official on Instagram, at For Love and Music Official on Facebook, and also visit www.jamartistgroup.com/podcast.